Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Deja vu all over again. Slappy team on the schedule. The only difference is this one's coming here. We're not going there. And to me, that's enough that losing to this team would even be more unconscionable than losing to the bad Raiders and the awful Titans.
Well, to me, once you get below a certain level, it's just degrees of unconscionable. You can't do anything about the Raiders and the Titans, but they can certainly do something about the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll disagree again, I'm guessing, because to me, while an 8-7 victory would achieve what the Steelers want to achieve in the standings, I want a thumping. I want to see them put the hammer down on somebody. I want to see them build off the momentum they clearly generated in beating the New York Football Giants handily everywhere but on the scoreboard. And I want to see the Steelers take a step back up toward the perceived elite in the National Football League. I want to read you some scores, Lab, from games this season through the season's first half. Houston 43, Baltimore 13, Baltimore 44, Cincinnati 13, San Francisco 45, Buffalo 3, San Francisco 34, the New York Football Jets nothing, Chicago Bears 51, Tennessee 20. This is what I'm seeking as another clear signal that the Steelers are in fact the team that they perceive themselves to be at the start of the season, and the team that many of us perceive them to be at the start of the season, and not those guys we watched fail to cover unnamed receivers in Oakland. And when I say unnamed, they had names. I just don't know what they were.
Well, I mentioned this on the morning show, the DVE morning show today, 2010. I'm doing a little research here, looking forward to this the first of these Ravens home-and-home series coming up here on the Sunday night after the Monday night game. 2010. The Steelers had lost to the New England Patriots. Then they came back and crushed a good Oakland team that came to Pittsburgh with some bona fides in terms of being a physical team, a good rushing team. Steelers beat them 35-3. Then they went to Buffalo, the awful, awful Bills, and Stevie Johnson gave the Steelers a present, dropped the touchdown pass in overtime. And the Steelers were lucky to win that game. Remember how sloppy and slappy that was.
That was also, what, the 7 holding penalty game?
Yes.
And Buffalo had none.
Yeah. The next week, though, the Steelers went to Baltimore and beat the Ravens to put themselves in a position where they owned the tiebreakers if the teams would finish with the same record, which they did. 12-4 Steelers then ended up hosting the AFC Championship game, which they won and went to Super Bowl 45. So my only point is, you know, I still think that even if they slap it up a little bit but beat the Chiefs, I'm not willing to concede that my opinion of them going into the Ravens game will be any different than if they win 35-3. Because I think the Ravens game is something of its own. It's a unique kind of thing, and I don't know that momentum going in, going in with a close win over a bad team really matters when those two teams play. So, yes, we will disagree again, but I mean, if the Steelers lose to the Chiefs Monday night, you better come looking for me on the 4-2 Kane Bridge Tuesday morning instead of just coming here to do this post-game podcast, because I will be at the railing looking down into those waters thinking, you know, this season is over.
Yeah, I can't and, you know, I didn't think Oakland was the worst team I'd ever seen.
This year's Oakland this team? Year. Okay.
But I thought that was a game they should have easily won.
Yes.
Maybe not easily. A game they should have won. I had a little respect for Palmer, and I thought the Raiders would play better at home than they had in Miami in the heat and all that. Tennessee, when I watched Tennessee the week before Tennessee played the Steelers, I was appalled at how bad I thought Tennessee was. Just horrifically bad, and the Steelers lose that game.
And the Titans showed what blood and guts group they are by what they did against that.
What was that Bears score again? 51 Tennessee 20.
Yeah.
And now the owner's saying everything's going to – we're going to look under every rock because this is unacceptable. And how did we get this bad this fast? But
right.
I watched Kansas City play San Diego. I started watching it when it was on Thursday Night Football, and mercifully I fell asleep. But doing my due diligence, that voodoo that only I do so well, I watched the tape of it Tuesday. And, yeah, the Chiefs are bad. They run the ball a little bit, but they turn it over. They're very vanilla on defense. They're seemingly very disinterested on defense. Eric Berry can't cover tight ends. Dontari Poe can't get off a double team. There's very few redeeming social values associated with this year's Kansas City Chiefs. And deal with that. You know, don't sleepwalk through it. Show up ready to play. Play crisp. Play well. Win by a lot. For some reason, I'm to the point where I think that's important. Maybe because of all the roller coaster ride that we've been on to this point in this season. I just to keep that good feeling going from the Giants game. At least in my mind, there needs to be a no doubt about it type of performance.
You think there's any in the Steelers locker room? Well, in the Steelers offensive team meeting room, any let's roll up some big numbers here for Todd Haley.
I don't know. I guess that depends on what they think of Todd Haley. I'm not trying to be funny.
He
hasn't been here that long. I don't know what the
– A lot of times, though, that's when you really want to, you know
– Maybe that's what helps forge a bond there. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what they think of him. I'm not questioning what they think of him. I don't know. And I don't know that he cares. I don't know that I care, quite frankly. But might throw a little bit of a –
Right,
extra juice into it, and if that's what it takes, by all means.
Because players will often find obscure things to motivate themselves. This is certainly falls into the category of obscure things. It's just something that crossed my mind a little bit.
You know, I might go down to the locker room after we're done here and ask a few guys about that.
Hey, you know, I'm here for you. But, you know, you remember the 96 game the Steelers played against the Rams. Bettis went absolutely crazy. I mean, and there are some instances, you know, of that throughout the, you know, the thing. I found it interesting, you know, when Mike Tomlin was asked not about whether the Steelers would have any extra juice in for this game because of Todd Haley getting fired by the Chiefs, but whether Todd Haley's input would matter in terms of, you know, playing a team that he was the head coach of just last year. And Tomlin started out with, well, I don't think he's going to get up and make any speeches or anything. But, you know, I don't know. I think that players and coaches in this league have a sense of, you know, when one of their own has gotten screwed. And, the more and more I know about this Chiefs situation, GM Scott Pioli, it wouldn't shock me in the least if Haley's phone calls were being listened to. I mean, really? You know,
back when he was in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, would that surprise you at all that a guy who
Arrowhead Gate.
A guy who came from the Patriots who learned at the feet of, Spygate Belichick would be using surreptitious methods to try and glean intelligence?
On his own guy.
Right.
See, I'm not an NFL GM. I know people listen to these podcasts, you think that guy had to be a former GM. His knowledge is incredible. He's got this so buttoned down. But no, I'm not. But were I an NFL GM, I don't think I would have anybody as my head coach that I didn't trust. I think coach GM got to be tied at the hip. Maybe that's why it didn't work if Pioli did in fact not trust Todd Haley. That's just
– Oh, there's a million examples of that. We lived through one of those here, late 90s, did we
not?
Yeah,
not very long, though, and it didn't work, did it?
Right. Just throwing it out there.
Spying on the enemy, you know, I get that. Spying on yourself, that's part of the problem, not part of the solution, isn't it?
When things were going poorly – for him to do that wouldn't surprise me at all. Okay, anyway, let's get back on to things more football-related. You mentioned the Chiefs turning the ball over, leading the NFL 29 turnovers. That, to me, kind of precludes any chance that you can have as a football team of sustaining the kind of performance you need, I think, to win games. You know, you look at those statistics when you're minus two or three on takeaway turnover ratio in the course of a game, your chances of winning, you know, from minus one to minus three, it becomes infinitesimal, your chances of winning a game. The Chiefs are turning it over almost four times every time they tee it up. That's
absurd.
Yes.
I don't
29
know
turnovers in eight games.
Come up with a pithy thought while I look up what the best turnover ratio was last year.
Here it is here.
Oh, okay. I'll bet the team that led the league in takeaway giveaway probably didn't turn it over 25 times.
Maybe not.
And they've got 29 already through half a season. So you're in the neighborhood of 60 if they keep on this pace. What if they get worse? It's absurdly bad. I don't know how else to characterize it.
Yes. And well, epically. You know what I mean? It's epically bad to me.
Might be a record pace for all I know.
Yes.
And as Mike Tomlin pointed out, the Steelers not exactly juggernauts in creating takeaways, but if they're going to give it to you, take it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what was your question? The team
that had the fewest giveaways last year.
Okay, that would be your 49ers with 10.
All season.
10, yes.
These guys are through half a season, and they've got three times as many.
Yes.
There you go. I don't know what more perspective you need as to how bad this team – oh, well, here's what more you need.
The worst team giving the ball away last year in 16 games only had 40. Well, they're at 30 at the half.
They're going to sail past that. And this could be, Lab, just a hunch here. Again, my GM-like instincts. This is probably why Kansas City has not had a lead in regulation this season in eight games.
That might be one of the most
not even amazing, 3-0
amazing statistics.
Not even
Yeah, you would imagine a winless team might be ahead at some point.
Yeah,
halfway through a season.
I'll bet the winless Detroit Lions were at some point. And in fact, I know they were because this has already been reported as historic through this many games. It goes back to 1950. I don't think they looked it up before that. They're just, you know, sometimes you got to call it like you see it, and this on paper is a mismatch, and on the field this should be a mismatch.
Yes, and it's – yes.
And if it's not, it's not a credit to the Chiefs.
No, I agree with you there. This is a game that's more about the Steelers than the Chiefs.
Plus, you know, you have a national TV audience tuning in. You are at home.
First Monday night game at home since 2008,
yeah.
This
used to be Showtime around here.
Yes, it was. And the Steelers' record on Monday night at home is unbelievably good.
Last 14 in a row, right?
Yeah.
So, if it doesn't work out this way, sorry. People have reminded me of my pregame analysis for Tennessee and Oakland, but I still got to call it like I see it.
Yeah, I mean, just because there's no way. Predicting a Steelers loss, you know, or trying to create a scenario in which the Steelers lose this game, to me is, you know, reaching and a guess. I mean, you look at this for what it is, and you're right. It should be the Steelers should be able to handle this team. You know, whatever the number is. But, you know, to me it could be, you know, 17-0 and be a butt kicking.
Sure.
Too.
Sure.
I don't
want last year.
Right, 13-9.
I don't want hanging on and having to intercept a pass from Tyler Palko in the fourth quarter to secure the victory.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would think Matt Castle should be pretty tenderized, I think, at this point by the first eight games. I mean, he's been beaten up a little bit, sacked 16 times, threw 11 interceptions. And he fumbles too. I don't know.
Is there another way to turn the ball over besides fumbling it or throwing an interception? I bet he'll come up with it.
You know, just be careful on the opening kickoff because early on, I think any charity by the Steelers that gives the Chiefs any confidence would be a bad thing. But again,
maybe they should let him return that for a touchdown. Then Kansas City would have a lead. They'd have no idea how to proceed.
that think the game was over.
Be stunned into a comatose-like state, and then you can take off. I think this team runs the ball well, too. I'll say that.
The Chiefs?
Yes.
Yeah.
The offensive line run blocks well, and I think it's a nice collection of backs between Charles, who is a good quick hitter kind of guy with some power, and Peyton Hillis. At least the Peyton Hillis of 2 years ago was a load as a, you know, slam back counter type of guy, complement to the speed guy. And then you have number 22 McCluster,
who's dangerous.
He'll play a lot of slot receiver. They'll run some wildcat with him. He's a little jitterbug in the Chris Rainey mold, more accomplished than Rainey. So you got to deal with that. But the Steelers ought to be able to play some run defense by now, don't you think?
Yeah, and the Chiefs are not, to me, when I say the Chiefs are slappy, that doesn't mean their slappiness is not born of being without talent. Their slappiness is they give the ball away, which that to me can negate a lot of talent, a lot of even good things that you might be able to do in various phases of a game during a game. And that's why I just think that, the Chiefs have, in all too many games, taken themselves out of having an opportunity to win by giving the football away. And they consistently give the ball away.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that to suddenly stop cold turkey.
Right. You know, 8 games into a season, you turn it over. And it's not like they had, 15 turnovers in one game and 6 other games they only had one or something like that. They're pretty much hitting their average every week. So I expect more of the same Monday night at Heinz Field. And as a result, I think the Steelers will then be 6-3 and awaiting the arrival of the Baltimore Ravens for Sunday night, November the 12th.
Starting to get interesting.
Yes, it is. And that'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you Tuesday when we either tell you how smart we are or pretend like we never said any of this. Talk to you then.